very close friends of mine asked me to this week to pray for a grieving family. Marjorie was only 29 years old. She was not ill. She was found dead in a car. Nobody expected her to die so young. Her husband is absolutely grief-stricken because she also leaves behind three children, Peyton, Haley, and Mariah. The oldest is 11 years old and the youngest is only 4 years old. The shock, the sadness of this tragic situation has affected many people. And I can say that even though I did not know this family, it has affected me to the extent that it took a lot of my prayer, a lot of my thinking, especially as I was preparing this homily. I have two readings, and both of them have got to do with the resurrection of people who died in an untimely fashion. So you have Elijah raising this young man and handing him to his mother, who was a widow. Then you have Jesus raising this young man and handing him to his mother, who was a widow. When tragedy strikes us, there is an instinctive question that we ask. And the question is, why? Why did it happen? And as people of faith, we may even ask the question, oh God, why? I can't tell you how many funeral masses I have celebrated with that same question in mind. Dear God, why could this not have been different? Even as a people of faith, even as a people who believe that Jesus died and rose again, even as a people who can look at the big picture and say, well, there is another life, yet another life, where there is no death, believing all that, I still think that the pain of any tragedy is real and paralyzing. So as I reflected on today's readings, I had this thought. I wish, and I'm not trying to play the Messiah. I don't suffer from the Messiah syndrome. But how badly I would like to reverse some of these deaths and hand the people over to their families like Elijah did or Jesus did. I wish I could restore Marjorie to her children. But in reality, I'm helpless, you're helpless, we're all helpless. And I don't have, not many people have the answers to the whys of life. We can ask all the why questions we want, but we don't get an answer. So all I did today, this week, was pray. Pray about these readings, pray about what it means as a people of faith to encounter tragedy. And the rest of the homilies is the fruit of that reflection and prayer. So first of all, I want to talk about Christ as our comfort. Christ, our comfort. In tragic moments, as a people of faith, we are inclined to draw close to Christ. And there are many reasons we do that. The first reason is because we think of Jesus as a compassionate person. Jesus is the compassionate presence of God. Doesn't today's gospel reading tell us that Jesus saw this funeral procession go by and he was moved with pity? It's a beautiful thing that Luke writes. He didn't have to write that, but he did. Jesus is moved with pity. This is one of those rare miracles when no one comes to Jesus requesting a miracle. Or somebody doesn't bring another person to be healed. Jesus steps up on his own. He takes the initiative. He touched the coffin, raised the young man to life. And so I read in that action of Jesus a symbolic action. It's a symbolic action of Christ's solidarity with every person who encounters tragedy. In numerous instances, Jesus brought comfort to hurting people. He did good. He brought much healing to people who were hurting. But then there's yet another reason why we approach Christ in times of tragedy. We think of his untimely death. He was young. And he was put to a tragic end. His life was brutally ended. That was so tragic. This is so tragic. So we believe that Jesus understands what it means for someone to die in an untimely manner. And then you think of Mary. In today's gospel reading, Jesus stepped up and helped this mother, restored her son to him, but the day that Jesus died, nobody did that for his mother. And Mary was a widow. And nobody could help her in the way that she would have wanted. Just as in today's story, Jesus also was an only son of his mother. In other words, folks, in times of tragedy, we find solace in Christ who understands the plight of the brokenhearted. That's why we sang that song, "You have rescued me, you have rescued me, God. I will praise your name because you have rescued me." Christ is our solace and our comfort. In the letter to the Hebrews, there is a very, very powerful sentence where the author says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace and timely help." So as a people of faith, we have no answers to the tragedies of life, but we can draw solace from the Christ whose heart is moved with compassion. Secondly, Christ, our life. The two stories today are about widows who lost their only sons. Now, these two stories are told in such a way that they are not isolated stories. They fit into the big picture of salvation. In other words, these stories of the resurrection of the dead are told in a way that they capture God's plan for all humanity. What happened to the young man in the first reading and what happened to the young man in the gospel reading is our destiny as well. And how does that happen? Of course, Elijah is able to raise this man from the dead. Jesus did the same, but Jesus goes way beyond. Jesus does not just go and raise one man to life. Jesus became death. This is God. Jesus enters into the depths of human darkness. He becomes that which he tries to defeat. And because God is life, by entering into death, God has transformed death into life. So Jesus transformed death from within. By his death, Christ has snatched us from death and restored us to life. Not just for a few selected people, but all of humanity is invited to the resurrection. And for us, we who are baptized, that is what baptism means. When Paul talks about baptism, he talks about immersion into the water as dying with Christ and emerging from water as the resurrection. So by our very baptism, we are already a people of hope. And so yes, Marjorie's story is very tragic. Yet in the midst of tragedy, Christ makes it possible for us to face tragedy with hope. That's all we can do. I don't think anybody has the answers to the whys of life, but we do have the courage to face tragedy with some sense of hope, the hope that comes from Christ defeating death. And thirdly, Christ, our inspiration. Both in the Old and New Testaments, widows were among the most helpless of people in society. We don't look at widows and widowers like that today. But in biblical times, widows, they occupied one of the lowest rungs of society. Oppressing widows was considered a serious sin, and coming to the aid of widows was a great virtue. Now I admire Elijah and I admire Jesus because they delivered. They actually did what was right by these people who were otherwise considered pretty low in society. What I like about them is both Elijah and Jesus do not withdraw from the situation, nor do they allow the situation to pass them by. Right? There's a very specific translation in today's gospel reading that I like very much. It says, Jesus stepped up to the coffin. And I like it. Because I feel helpless in times of tragedy, my natural inclination is to step back because I don't know what to do with it. I'm helpless when it comes to tragedy. The best thing is not to be part of that. Jesus does the opposite. He steps up. Folks, in times of tragedy, we are helpless because we don't know what to say. And we think we have to say something. We don't know what to say. We don't know what right words to use. We don't know what to do. But I think Elijah and Jesus teach us that one of the best things we can do is to make our presence felt. In times of tragedy, people may forget what we have said or what we have done, but they will never forget that we were there. Presence is a gift. Very often in times of tragedy, I don't try to say anything. I simply am there for the person. In this Jubilee of Mercy, there are two spiritual works of mercy that are very, very relevant for today's readings. One is visiting the sick, and the other is burying the dead. Think about family members or people that you know that may be sick, maybe in a nursing home, and we have never stepped up. Think about times when there have been tragic situations and we could have been there and maybe we did not. Or we can make an effort to be there. Presence. Jesus and Elijah teach us the importance of presence. So Christ our comfort, Christ our life, Christ our inspiration. The Eucharist is actually a foreshadow of what is to come. This gathering, this celebration, mirrors what our destiny is in heaven. When we sit at that table, there will be no more death, we would be rescued, and our soul will constantly glorify God. We get that opportunity today. Christ is with us. As tragic as life can be, sometimes Christ is with us. Let our souls sing forth as we continue our worship, and let's offer the sacrifice of praise to our God. People of God said, Amen.